You're listening to the teaching ministry of Pastor Randy Castillo of Harvest Bible Church, Arizona, where the Word of God is taught and lives are being changed. Please feel free to visit us on the web at hbcaz.org. That's Harvest Bible Church, AZ. Now please, open your Bible, prepare your heart. Here's Pastor Randy.
Bibles to Jeremiah 29:11. Now, this is going to be a springboard off of Jeremiah 29:11. Now, I said that I had mentioned that I was going to finish the spiritual gifts this week, but because of communion and because of what I want to do with the spiritual gifts, we've moved it to next week. You're going to want to be here for that service as we complete a balanced look at spiritual gifts. But this morning, I've entitled our message, God Has a Plan. And I felt it was important to start the new year off to make sure that as individuals and as a church, that we recognize that we need to line our hearts up with God's plan and not just our plan. Because so often, if you're like me, we can tend to be ambitious. We can tend to have our agenda. We want to be proactive. But even being proactive, sometimes even for things like ministry, we can sometimes run ahead of God, and we don't want to do that. We want to be right in tandem with where God wants us and where we need to be. So Jeremiah 29:11, we're going to bounce off that. I mean, it's not my usual where I pick a scripture apart word by word, but we're going to use it as a springboard. We're going to have various scriptures, but that'll be a good starting point at Jeremiah 29. Let's pray before we read it. Father, oh God, thank you so much for getting us through 2017. And now, Lord, as we embark on 2018, we just ask that you would be here in our midst, that you would speak mightily to our hearts. Father, that we would line ourselves up with what you have planned for us this year. Father, that we would run the race with endurance. And Father, that we would see it through. Lord Jesus, thank you that you loved us enough to die for us on the cross, to pave the way for us to have intimacy with you. And Lord Jesus, it is your name, it is by you that we can do all things, but without you, Lord Jesus, we can do nothing. And so, Holy Spirit, we also need you to teach us this morning. And so, Father, we thank you. Holy Spirit, we need you, and Jesus, we adore you. And we ask this in his name. Amen. All right, Jeremiah 29:11. One of my top 10 favorite verses, I think it's in the top 10, it's just one of those great verses, but here's what it says. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you. And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. Now, God has a plan. God has a plan for each and every one of us. Now, unfortunately, guess what? Part of that plan is that one day you and I will pass from this life. It is appointed. It's 100% guaranteed that every one of us one day will depart. Is there anyone here that isn't going to die? Okay, good. I'm just checking. You never know, you know. But here's the thing, even within this verse, Jeremiah 29:11, where God says, I have a plan, a hope, and a future, that is including the fact that we will pass from this life. Now, the problem is, and we're going to explore this quite extensively, is if you seek God and you go his way, there is a hope and a future for you, even once you pass from this life. However, if you choose to go your own way, then there is a future, but it's not very hopeful. Now, as we looked at this, it said, for I know, this is God speaking to each one of us, for I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. It's a mind-blowing concept, really. When you think about the omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent, Almighty God thinks not just about us corporately, but about us individually. Individually. He cares about your comings and goings. He watches you when you sleep. Listen, the Word of God tells us that He knows every hair on your head, or lack thereof. Some of you, He has to know the ones on your back, but that's another story. But He knows them all. Why? Listen, he cares so greatly for you. He watches you while you sleep, like a parent that adores their child and watches them as they sleep. He watches you because He loves you and He cares for you. Listen, I think about my kids. I think about their future, and I can't control their future, though. I have no plans. You know, I can make all the plans I want regarding my kids, but they're going to make their own choices. I have plans. I think of my bride, and I think about our future, and we can make plans. But there are certain people that I run into in my life. Like, recently we went to Houston, and there was a guy at the airport that made me take off my shoes. I had thoughts about him too. What a jerk. No, no, he was doing his job. But listen, it might have even been a woman. I don't even know. But the point is this. There are people that I don't think about after I've met them and they're gone and they don't cross my mind. But with God, every single one of us is important. Every single one of us here in this room, God thinks about you and your future, and He has a plan and a hope. The only difference between when you and I plan for our kids, or we plan for our marriage, or even plan for ourselves, we really have not control. We think we have control, but we really are limited, where God is unlimited. And God says He cares enough for you and He cares enough for me that He has a plan for us. And by the way, how can we know that God cares for us? Well, He wrapped Himself up in flesh as a helpless baby to live a sinless life, to be ridiculed and mocked. And we're going to see a little bit of that here. Also, He can say to you and I love you and I have a plan for you. I think about the fact that at one time I worked at Walmart. I worked in the shoe department, and one of the things that I know is that the president of Walmart never, ever thought about my future. He never cared about or hoped that I would have a great future. He just wanted me to put those shoes out on the shelves. That's all he cared about. In fact, he didn't even think about me as a whole. He thought about the corporation as a whole. But with God, the creator of all things, He cares about us all individually. God Almighty wants to be involved with your 2018. The question is, as we look back at 2017, how involved was God in your 2017? Did you go about your business without consoling or without seeking to say, God, am I going your direction? Is this the plan, the hope, and the future that you had for me? He said, for I know the thoughts. So He's thinking about you that He thinks towards you. Thoughts of peace, not of evil. How peaceful was your 2017? And how evil was it? For some, very evil. For some, no peace. But God says, I want to give you peace. Listen, if I were to ask, and I don't want to ask, but if I were to ask how many of you want peace in 2018 for your lives, I'm sure all of you. If I said how many of you want no evil involved in your life for 2018, I'm sure all of you. Well, here's the thing. He's going to give us information on how we can have His peace and no evil and actually give us a future and a hope. The problem is, now hear me closely, you and I, we have plans, we have an agenda, we have our ideas for the future, the things that we want to accomplish, we have goals, we think about how we can get here or there, achieve this or that. There are some people, maybe it's you, who shoot from the hip. Every day you wake up and say, whatever happens, happens. You know, for me, I need at least 6 months to a year planned out, you know, some idea. But here's what I know. Even though I may plan out my year, God can say, no, I want you to go another direction. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. Now, you probably know this verse. If you don't, jot it down or turn to it. Proverbs, but keep your bookmark on Jeremiah. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says this. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. With what?
All.
Part of your heart?
All
your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. In other words, folks, here you go. God has a plan. All your heart. Now, I love dogs. Anybody here a dog lover? Yeah. Anybody love dogs? Two of you? Great. Just remember, Pastor Gilbert said, don't put an HBC sticker on your dog. I heard him. He said that. Actually, first service, he said, don't put it on your cat. So dogs are safe. You can go ahead and put them on your dog. Now, I like dogs, but I like a particular breed of dog, and I'm sorry, this may be, I love all dogs, but there's a particular breed that I like more than others. I really, really like pit bulls. Now, they say that when people get dogs, their dogs actually resemble them. Have you ever noticed how large pit bull heads are? I think you realize why I like pit bulls. Makes me feel normal. Now, I've had lots of pit bulls in my life, and they're smart dogs. But once in a while, you get a dog that is so smart, they're an escape artist, and they know how to get out of the yard no matter what you do. And so what you have to do is then you want them to be able to run around the yard, but you don't want them running out in the freeway or in the street or fight with another dog or whatever, get hit by a car. Excuse me. So you tie them on a chain or a rope to a tree. And that's great because they can have all that loose rope and they can run around the yard and everything's great. However, sometimes when you go out to that dog and they see you come up, all of a sudden they want to play and they get a little excited. And they start running around the tree and getting all tangled up in the rope or the chain. And the dog doesn't realize. All the dog knows is he wants to go his own way. I had a dog like this. It was a pit bull, Brindle. Her name was Buckwheat. And she would get tangled up. And I'd come over, and I knew she wanted to play. And I'd try and untangle her while she was doing this. And she'd just get more tangled up the more I tried to help her. Doing her own thing. Not realizing that her master wanted to help her to not get tangled. A dog will entangle itself because it doesn't know any better. That dog is continuing to go in his or her own understanding. Continuing to go its own way. Refusing to heed the master who wants to simply be a help to that dog. The dog can think, well, my master doesn't want to play. He's trying to keep me from playing. And isn't that the way we are with God? God's like, don't go that way, go this way. And we're like, no, I'm going to go this way. And we don't heed our master. And what happens is, just like the dog, we go and go and go until we're tangled up and we can't go anymore. And then we're like, eek, eek, eek. Then all of a sudden, oh, now we will cooperate with the master. Now that we've gone our own way, we've got ourselves tangled, now we need the help. And that's exactly how we are. I think that's why God calls dogs man's best friend, because there are so many lessons to be learned from our pet. Not from cats, from dogs. Well, you know what? There are cats to be learned what not to do, how not to, because cats won't come. Anyways, I don't want to talk about cats. Let's talk about dogs. Let us read again Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, your master, and he will direct your path. You see, as a master, as a pet owner, the things that I do for my pets is to keep them from harm. It's not that I don't want them to play. I want them to play. There's nothing better than having happy pets. Well, there are a lot of things, but you get the idea. It's like to say, well, there's nothing better. Well, good thing my wife's not here. Stop it. So I was like, ooh. She's watching on Facebook probably. But God has a plan, folks. He has a plan for us. He doesn't want to see us get tangled up in the snare of sin that so easily ensnares us, entangles us. But here's the problem. It's that time when we're not quite choked off yet. When we still have enough rope. Pardon the pun. When we haven't come to the end of our rope. We keep going our own way. And that's what I'm praying for HBC, not just as a whole, but us individually. That this year, we don't spend so much of our time going our own way, but realize that God has a plan for you and I and this church as a whole. And we need to line up with his plan, because guess what? It's a hope and it's a future. It has peace and no evil. Now, I love America. I love America. But the American church, I think, is much like a pit bull. In the sense that the American church is so at ease and lax that we've gone our own way and we run our own direction. So many people, in, not just in this church and other churches and churches as a whole, end up going their own way rather than relying on what God has said. Now, do me a favor. Turn in your Bibles to Revelation chapter 3. I read this like 2 weeks ago and it just resonated. Now, I've taught this Revelation before, and I've read this a couple hundred times maybe in my life as a Christian, but for some reason it just resounded that this is the American church. Revelation chapter 3, verse 14 through 22, the lukewarm church. Now, I'm not talking about every church. There are churches that are on fire. There are churches that are obedient. There are churches that are waiting 100% on the Lord, but I think in America as a whole, this sums it up. Now watch, let's read it. Revelation chapter 3, verse 14. And the angel of the church of Laodicea write, these things says the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish you were cold or hot, but because you are lukewarm, neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth because you say, now listen, tell me this isn't the American church. Because you say, I am rich and have become wealthy and I have need of nothing. Listen, most poor people in America are better off than people in third world countries. Because you say, I'm rich and I've become wealthy and have need of nothing, and do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined with fire, that you may be rich. White garments. Now, by the way, not rich in this life, rich in spiritual things, things that don't die off, that don't rust out or be, that aren't stolen and break down and get spent. He's talking about true riches. And white garments, that you may be clothed. Listen to that. That the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed. Let me ask you a question. What sells in America? Sex. That the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed. Man, you cannot watch TV commercials without going, what are they trying to sell? A hamburger? A car? What kind of Twinkie commercial is that? Look what he says. He says that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed. Anoint your eyes with eye salve that you may see. We're looking, too many people are looking at the wrong things. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. I put on a rope to limit your distance. Therefore, be zealous and repent. Behold, listen, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him and he with me. Who is he talking to there? A church. Isn't that scary when Jesus says, I have to stand outside the door of the church and say, please let me in? Isn't that the purpose of the church, that we come in and that he's here for us? But I think in America, too many churches have their eyes on the wrong thing. And here's what my heart is. My heart is that we are not that church, that I and you and each one of us examine our hearts. This year, before we go in, or now that we've started 2018, that we say, this year is going to be different. This year, I'm going to be more devoted. Notice he says, with what? All your heart. Remember? Over and over again, with all your heart. He says, if anyone come into me, if anyone hear me and open the door, I will come in with him and dine with him and he with me. To him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat with my Father on his throne. Overcome what? Overcome the snare that so easily entangles us. Listen, I pray on a regular basis, God, keep me on a short leash. Why? Because I know my tendency. My tendency is to want to jump the fence. And God says, no, that's going to be harmful to you. So I say, put me on a short leash. And what happens is when I'm on the leash, I end up going around and around until I choke myself off. Do you realize that's what the Israelites had to do? God put a leash on them, and they went around the mountain. And guess what? They choked themselves off. A whole generation died in the desert. It was the longest funeral procession ever, 40 years. And they died one at a time. Why? Because they wouldn't obey their master. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. He's saying that, brothers and sisters, we don't go, well, that's other. That can be our church so easily. All it takes is one step towards disobedience. One step for me to go my own way rather than God's way. One step for you to say, I've got this, God. I can handle this. The American church, I believe, is going its own way, so many of them. Remember the rich young ruler? He comes to Jesus and says, hey, Jesus, what must I do to be saved? And Jesus says, hey, keep all the commandments. And he says, oh, these things I've done since I was young. I've kept these from my youth. You know what he had done? He did good, but he hadn't done right. You see, he was doing what he thought was good. He was religious. Folks, you can be coming in here because it's church and you go, hey, that's good. And I carry a Bible, that's good. And I pray before I sit down to a meal or before I go to sleep, that's good. The question is, are you doing what is right? Because he did all that was what was good, but he wasn't doing what was right. He was being religious. He was doing good things. But good things don't make it right unless it's what God wants you to do. So important. Here's another example of religiosity without righteousness. And that's what I don't want for HBC, folks. In fact, I don't want that for any church in this valley. But we can only control what we do here. Turn to John chapter 5, verse 18. Now, keep a bookmarker on Jeremiah, because we're going to pop back to it several times, but also keep a bookmarker here on John 5. on John 5, because we're going to hit quite a few verses here, but I'm going to kind of like skip around in the chapter. Starting at verse 18, we're going to go to verse 47, but we're going to kind of dance around on it a little bit. Here's what we have. Read verse 18. Therefore, the Jews. Who are the Jews? They are the believers in who? In God of the Old Testament. In Yahweh, in Jehovah. They have the Bible. They have the written word. Therefore, the Jews sought all the more to kill him. Kill who? Jesus. Because he not only broke the Sabbath, but he also said that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. So here in chapter 5, what we have are religious people, church-going people, Bible-reading people, praying people, tithing people, serving people, and yet they want to kill Jesus. Why? Because they don't like what he had to say, they didn't like what he was doing, and they didn't like when he was doing it. Isn't that us sometimes? Isn't that what happens when things don't quite go our way? It's like, God, why is this happening? Why is this happening now? Look, and here's these people. They don't like what he said or what he's doing or when he's doing it. And then what does Jesus say about them? Because it says in verse 19, and Jesus answered and said to them, from verse 19 all the way for the next 28 verses, you have this interaction between Jesus and them. Look at what Jesus says to them in verse 24. Jump down to verse 24. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who hears my voice and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into judgment, but has passed from death to life. What Jesus just did is unbelievable. Why? He said to people who want to kill him, who hate him, he says this, folks, if you just believe in me, you'll have eternal life. I know you want to kill me. I know you hate me, but I love you. And I want you to live forever in joy and bliss, in glory. In fact, I want you to live with me. Try that. Try finding someone who hates you to the core and you say, you know what? I just want to, why don't you come live with me? We can even share a bed. We'll cuddle. Nice. But that's Jesus' heart. The very people who hate him, the very people who want to kill him, he wants them to have everlasting life. They're murderers. They're an angry mob. They're probably out there flipping cars over, lighting stores on fire, breaking windows, all while they're posting it on Facebook. They want to run their own direction until they strangle themselves. And Jesus is saying, I don't want you to be a snare. I don't want you to get caught in a snare. I want to untangle you. Don't you see? I have a plan of a hope and a future, not of evil. Once again, why do these people want to kill him? Because he healed a man at the pools of Bethsaida on the Sabbath. In translation, that means they didn't like what he did, and they didn't like when he was doing it. And we do the same thing. Lord, why did this have to happen? Why, people say this person, why did they die so soon? Why did they have to die? And we just agreed at the beginning of this, we all agreed that we're all going to die at some point. We all agreed that we're going to die someday. It's a part of the plan. But we don't, all of a sudden, we don't like God's timing. That's the same thing that why these people wanted to kill Jesus, because they didn't like God's timing. They didn't like what he had to say. Jesus, why did this have to happen to me? Well, because I'm building your patience and your trust. I don't like that. Forget it. Well, that's the exact same thing that these people do. Don't we do that? I don't like. How could you? You don't you realize God had a plan the whole time? It's appointed for each one of us to depart. It's appointed each one of us to go through tribulation. It's appointed each one of us to be tested in this life to see if we'll obey God's word or not. Deuteronomy 8:2. Remember, I brought you in the wilderness these 52 years to humble you and to test you and to see if you'll obey my word or not. How many years have you been in the wilderness? Are you obeying God's word? Are you saying no? Might as well kill Christ. Listen, the Bible is the word of God. Jesus is the word made flesh. Is Jesus your Lord?
Yes.
You're not sure? Is Jesus your Lord?
Yes.
So if the word of God is Jesus and the word of God says, don't do this or do this, and you say, no, Lord, when you disagree with the word of God, you're saying, no, Jesus. That sounds a little weird, doesn't it? But that's what we do when we don't get our way. We might as well be in this mob, this crowd that wants to kill Jesus. And yet I was before I was saved. And Jesus said, but I love you anyway, and I want you to have eternal life. I have a plan for you. Thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. You know, as a side note, someone asked me, or had this conversation with me recently, and they said, why do good people die young? And why do rotten people sometimes have the longest life? And a person said, well, that's because God wants the good ones. Can I tell you that according to this scripture, God wants the haters and the murderers. God wants the rotten ones too. You know why it seems like sometimes the rotten ones have the longer life? Because God's being patient and asking them, I'm giving you more time to call on me. Now, by the way, that's not really a true statement, because there are some people who are godly that live long lives. I believe Billy Graham's still alive. He's in his 90s. He's going on 100 here pretty soon. Yeah. But the point is this, folks. If you have a long life and you haven't accepted Christ, you need to. And if you're young and you haven't accepted Christ, you need to, because you don't know if you're going to live long or live short. Some people will, well, I'll be more rotten so I live longer and I'll give my life to... No, it doesn't work that way. It doesn't. That's just a song by Billy Joel, Only the Good Die Young. It's not true. But if the wicked do live long, it's only because God wants to give them time to repent. Because he loves even the... did you know that apparently, according to Focus on the Family, what's the name of that guy who ate all those people? Dahmer. According to Focus on the Family, Jeffrey Dahmer gave his life to the Lord before he died. And it made some unbelievers angry, the thought that he would go to heaven after eating all these people, and yet they, who've never eaten anybody and never hurt anybody, they're going to go to hell. I mean, it sounds funny, but it's not funny, because it boils down to this. Are you the disobedient? You're going to just fight against God and say, murder Jesus. I'd rather go my own way as long as you kill Jesus. Or do you say, you know what? I've been killing Jesus my whole life and spitting on him. Now I want to get right. I want to not go my own way. I'm going to go his way because he loves me. The problem for many churches, and the problem in many churches, and the problem with many Christians, even us here, is answered in verse 12 and 13 of Jeremiah. Turn back to Jeremiah, but save your position in John 5. Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you. Isn't that great? Everybody here, you're here in church today because you would love for God to listen to your prayers and respond, right? Well, look what he says. There's a prerequisite. And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your... Does it say part of your heart?
No.
Just the parts you want to give up to him? No, you know what we do? We go, oh, Lord, can I just keep this part? Can I just hold on to this? How about, Lord, I gave you all of that. I gave you all this part. See, wasn't that the rich young ruler? He followed the commandments since he was young. But he wasn't willing to give his whole heart to Jesus. So he did good, but he didn't do right. And what happens is we'll do good with part of our heart, and then we'll do darkness with the other part and think that the good outweighs the bad. I hope God grades on a curve. We start seeking God. People will come and they'll seek God until they don't like the direction he's asking them to go. But God, I'm just having fun running around this tree in this direction. And God's like, no, 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 you're going to choke yourself off. I don't care. I'm having fun. People read the word of God and they go, I don't like what God is telling me to do. It's too hard. What do you mean I got to forgive my enemies? What do you mean I got to love my enemies? What do you mean? That's too hard. Do you realize what they've done to me? We start to hang on to our rights. We become the captains of our own destiny. Listen, when the Lord Jesus Christ says the hardest things to you, it's because he wants the best for you. When Jesus Christ, when the Word of God tells you to do those hard, difficult things, it's only because God wants the best for you. Remember Jesus? He said, Father, if there be any other way. And the Father said, no, there is no other way. And Jesus says, fine, I'll go that way. Why? Because it's best for you, because he loves us. It was hard. It was painful. It was painful for Jesus to allow us to have communion and to have a way. Without Jesus, there is no way to salvation. And so now what God says is, now I need you to go my way so that you can have a hope and a peace and a future, not evil. And we go, but that's hard. He goes, I know, but trust me. I don't want to. In John chapter 5, turn back there if you want. You don't have to, but verse 34, Jesus says this, but I say these things that you might be saved. In other words, I know you guys don't like what I'm saying. That's why they want to kill him, right? Because they didn't like that he said that he was God. They don't want to embrace that. They don't want to obey him. And he says, guys, everybody, listen, I'm telling you this because I want you to be saved. I want you to have that hope and that peace and that future. Will you trust in me? And he's saying that to you and I today. But what happens? We hear something we don't like, and that's what's wrong with the world. The world hears things they don't like, so they go, oh, I'm an atheist. It's not that there's more proof. There's not. There's not. If someone tells you that, tell them to come talk to me. There's not more proof. It's silliness. I ran across this story of someone who didn't like what the Bible had to say, this teacher. And this teacher happened to have one little girl who believed in God in her class. The teacher said that it was physically impossible for a whale to swallow a human because even though it's very large, it's a very large mammal, its throat is very, very small. And the little girl stated, Jonah was swallowed by a whale, irritated. The teacher reiterated that the whale could not swallow a human. It was physically impossible. And the little girl said, well, when I get to heaven, I will ask Jonah. And the teacher said, oh, yeah? What if Jonah went to hell? Well, then you ask him. By the way, folks, just a side note. It's not a whale, it's a fish. And if God needed to create one fish for one swallowing, he could have done that. So, but anyways, but I love the little story. It's cute, right? But I think that's what Jesus means. Turn back to John chapter 5. I told you we're going to go John and Jeremiah, but John chapter 5. Look at verse 39 and 40. You search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. And these are they which testify of me. but you are not willing to come to me that you may have life. See, it's like he's telling this group, you have the word of God. They speak of me. But you believe, you put more faith in reading your Bible than believing your Bible. There's people in the church that believe more in having a Bible than obeying the Bible. But Pastor Randy, what it's asking me to do is so hard. Is Jesus your Lord or is he not your Lord? Is Jesus the Word made flesh or not? Would you look Jesus in the face and say, no, Jesus, I'm not going to do that. It's too hard. While he has the thorn and the blood and the scars, and he says, you want to know what hard is? We can't just read the scriptures. We must read the scriptures to see Jesus. And once we see Jesus, obey. Remember, Jesus said this, that he was the way, the truth, and the life. He has a way that leads to peace. He has a way of truth, of the truth that has a hope and a future for you. And he is the life, a life more abundantly, a life more than this tangible thing that we hold on to. The problem is we don't want to go that way sometimes because it doesn't fit my agenda. So instead, I'll just go around the tree until I choke and then cry out to him. How about we stop choking ourselves? How about we come to the end of our rope this year and now let the Lord lead us gently? And by the way, all of this stems from his love, his love for us, everything. It's out of his love. He wants to untangle us from the mess that you and I make. We do it ourselves with our foolishness. He has a new direction for you. He has a new direction for me this year. One of peace, not of evil, a hope and a future. And once again, the key is in 13, and you will seek me and you will find me when you search for me with all your heart. Remember in Matthew 22, Jesus said this, you shall love the Lord your God with all your
heart,
all your soul, all your mind. All your mind? Yes. The things you think. How you think. Why you think. Your soul, down to your very soul. Listen, when you find Christ and you begin to love him with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind, the things that he will do out of his love for you, the peace he will give, the way he unfolds. Listen, before I was saved, I was like a rabid pit bull going my, I didn't even want the, you put a rope on me. I want to run the streets, bite the mailman. But then God got a hold of me and I said, Lord, put me on a short leash because I know my tendency with this big old head of mine. And then he began to do greater things. You know, my dog, Buckwheat, had she not tried to get out of the yard, I would have never put her on a leash. She could have ran free in the whole yard. Oops, sorry. Look at me. See, there's that pit bull in me again. The whole yard. Okay. She could have ran free in the whole yard. But because she wanted to do her own thing, I had to put a leash. That's why, listen, Jesus says, you shall know the truth and the truth shall. When you and I walk according to God's word, it's freeing. It's not restricting. Sin is restricting. I know some people who have their license revoked. Why? God took it away? No, because they kept drinking and drinking, and now they've restricted themselves, not by God, but by their own sin. They've choked themselves off. Marriages, relationships between parent and child, businesses that fold, all of these things, not because God did it, but because people do it to themselves when they go their own way. But when we walk according to God, guess what happens? Freeing. I used to restrict my life horribly. And I started walking a little bit more close to God in obedience. And look where it's got me, I think is pretty darn good. Thank you, Lord. There's a song. There's an old hymn. And I told everyone in first service, I don't know if I can read this. Every time I read this, it's one of my favorite hymns of all time because the words speak volumes about what happens to a life and the way we look at God when we start walking in obedience. And it's about God's love. And it's called, the name of the song is The Love of God. Let me read you the words. The love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest hell. The guilty pair bowed down with care. God gave his son to win. His erring child is reconciled and pardoned from his sin. Could we with ink the ocean fill? And were the sky of parchment made? Were every stock on earth a quill and every man a scribe by trade? To write the love of God above would drain the ocean dry. Nor could the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. The love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong. It shall forevermore endure the saint and angel song. Listen, when you start walking God's way, the way your life becomes blessed, if you took every tree and made it a quill, if you made the ocean ink and you made the sky, it would not be enough room to contain the glory of God in your own life. But the problem is, instead of those trees and stalks being quills, they have to be tethered for a leash, for the wayward, for the rambunctious. And if you get Christ, if you've come to a relation this morning, if you come to a deeper relationship starting out 2018 with Christ, don't hide Jesus. Don't hide him in your life. Don't put him in some back burner. If you're going to love God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, how can you hide that? That means it's not all, is it? It's only a portion. You don't hide him in your heart. You know, I think about tattoos because I'd like to get one. I know some people don't like tattoos. I was thinking about getting a tattoo, something Christian, something manly, I hope. But I thought about it. You know, a lot of people get tattoos and then they put it on Facebook. They don't hide it. I mean, you spend all that money, you don't hide it. That would be like me going and saying, hey, tattoo guy, I'd like you to do a couple of Easter eggs and hide them and don't tell me where you put them. Let me be surprised. You don't do that. Why in the world would anyone bring Christ into their life and then hide him like an Easter egg? Not if he's become a reality. Not if you're going his way. If you've given your whole heart, mind, and soul to the Lord Jesus Christ, you don't hide that. Now, let's say this year, ta-da! I'm gonna give it. That's it. I'm not leaning on my own understanding. I'm gonna acknowledge him. I want that peace. I want that hope. I want that future. I don't want evil. What are some of the tangible things? What are some of the tangible promises of God in his word? Well, I'm gonna read some. Some of these are regular version and some of them are amplified. You'll be able to tell the difference. But some of the amplified ones, they're so good amplified. Isaiah 26:3, not amplified. The steadfast of mind you will keep in perfect peace because he trusts in you. Trust in the Lord, your mind goes to perfect peace. You don't have perfect peace, guess who you're not trusting? John 16:33. These things I have spoken to you that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take courage, because I have overcome the world. That world that you feel the tribulation, Jesus already overcame it. Find your peace in him, not in the world. Or how about Isaiah 41:10? Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be anxious. Look about you, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Surely I will help you. Surely I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. When you feel like you're sinking, don't worry. He's got you. He's got you covered. And I love this. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7. This is amplified. Cast the whole of your care, all your anxiousness, all your worries, all your concerns, once and for all on him, for he cares for you affectionately. He cares about you watchfully. He's watching you. He knows the hairs on your head. He watches you while you sleep. He cares about you. He promises, listen, cast them all. Whatever's going on, give it to him and believe that he's going to see you through this. 2018 is your year with Jesus and his year with you, and you get to choose. Do me a favor. Turn back to Jeremiah. Let's read it again. Let's read it together. Verse 11, 12, and 13. And really think about what the words are saying. And this is God speaking to each one of you individually. Here you go. For I know the thoughts I think towards you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call on me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you. And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. Isn't that good? Just stop holding back. Portions of, Lord, I don't want to give you that. Give it to him. Lord, I can't go that way. Yes, you can. Lord, I can't forgive. Oh, yes, you can. Lord, I can't get a go. Lord, I don't understand. Good, you don't. You're not supposed to understand. That's why he's God. One last verse before we go to communion. Ecclesiastes 3:11. Listen to this. He has made everything beautiful, listen to this, in its time. He has also set eternity in the hearts of men. That's why you long for eternal life. That they cannot fathom what God has done from the beginning to the end. We can't fathom, but we can know this. He has a hope, a future, peace, not of evil for you. All we have to do is stop going our way and embrace God's way. Can we do that for 2018, church? Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for this opportunity that we have to be reminded, Lord, by your word, your promises to us. And how great are those promises, Lord? You are the one who never, ever breaks a promise. God, we put our trust and our hope in you. Lord, may we just spread our arms and fall back into your hands and trust you've got this covered. We just need to walk in obedience even when it's difficult, even when our heart and our mind want to go another direction. May we surrender our thoughts, surrender our passions to you, Lord. God, I know my own heart. I know my own mind. And Lord, I know my own struggles. And so, Lord, I pray for each person as they deal in with their own heart and their own struggles. May they come to grips with shining the light of your word into the dark crevices and recesses of their heart. May we expose those areas that need to be dealt with before your chastening hand comes down upon us, because you love us. You love us enough to chasten us. God, you're so good. So faithful. And Lord, as we prepare to take communion, Lord, I ask if there is someone here that's never surrendered their heart to you, Lord Jesus, that they would do it before they take communion. And Lord, if there is someone here who's deciding to go their own way, they don't want you, Lord Jesus, I pray they would not take communion, because it's only for the believer. It's only for those who have put their trust and their hope in the finished work of the cross. But Father, if there's someone here who has never surrendered their heart, may they take the cup and hold the bread and remember how you were broken. And may it draw their mind back to that cross. And may they surrender their will today. And may they turn away from their sin. And may they walk in newness of life, because you are the one who makes all things new. And so, Lord, if there's anyone here that needs you this morning, may you speak to their heart individually. May they prepare their heart for communion. And if there's anyone here who does not want you, Lord Jesus, may they not take the cup, because it means a lot to us. It really does. And so, Father, I pray for these elements. I pray for these ushers, and I pray for this church, that we would have communion with you, God. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now the cup, there's two. They're stacked on top of each other. Separate them, hold on to them, and we'll take together. Let's sing a song. Yes, Father, we thank you that you sent your Son Jesus to be sweetly broken. It's only sweet, Lord, because of what we receive through his brokenness, through that blood, that precious blood that spilled life, so that we might have new life and a new covenant promise. And so, Father, we are thankful and grateful that you did not hold Jesus back. Jesus, we are grateful and thankful that you went willfully because of us, with us in mind. For the joy that was set before you, you endured the shame, even the death on the cross. And Holy Spirit, we thank you that because of the sacrifice of Christ, you would now dwell within our hearts and in our minds, and you teach us and guide us, and you gently call us to obedience. And so, Father, we thank you for all of this. And as we hold this bread, may we be reminded of what it costs to have this intimate relationship with you. According to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, starting verse 23, it says, "For I received from the Lord that which I also deliver to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" Let's partake of the bread. And in the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, This is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Let's drink the cup. And then he said, "For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." And so, Father, we thank you that you did die in our stead, that you took our sins upon the cross, and it's a payment we could have never made, but we thank you that you made it once and for all. And, Lord, we pray that between now and the time you come, that our hearts are prepared, that at any moment you could come for us. So, Lord, we say, Maranatha, Lord, come quickly. Come for your bride. Take us home to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And Lord, we love you, praise you, and honor you. In Jesus' name. And all God's children said,
amen.
Let's stand, sing one last song.